on that kneecap. And I was conversing with one of these, you know, large-scale men, and he finally looked at me. It was just a perfect answer. It seems like the right size to me. Oh, yeah, of course it does. It's perfectly consistent for you because that's your vibration. He said, I just made the body that fit my consciousness. And each one of us, we just make the reality that vibrates according to who we think we are or who we're trying to be or what we think of as a good idea at the time. However, because this whole world is just an ever-shifting reality of vibrations. And nowadays, scientists are doing all these measurings and, you know, the people who are unifying spirit and science are showing us pictures of the human aura and what the energy looks like and how our energy fields really interact. That's why it's so powerful to come together in a holy room like this for a holy purpose. Because we're all vibrating in here, and the mere fact that our bodies are at a distance from each other, our energy fields are literally overlapping and coming together. And the more we vibrate in harmony with each other and in harmony with higher ideals, the more powerful those vibrations within each one of us align. That's why really great and simultaneously really terrible things can happen when people unite their energies and align them. Mobs can align for evil, but spiritual people can align for good. Swamiji, in one of his pamphlets about the new dispensation masters coming to this world, said if enough people pray intently enough together, it draws from the divine a special ray of grace. So the concept of satsang, which is fellowship with truth or fellowship with other truth seekers, is in itself a spiritual practice. Because vibrating all by ourselves in a field that isn't consistent with ours, it's very hard to hold that with strength. But vibrating together in a space that has been sanctified with people of like mind, we begin to take literally a vortex of energy that we all get drawn into. We all know the power of positive company and of positive crowds. Well, the essence of that, in the very beginning, there was vibration, and that vibration, because the spirit was still, this is how the scriptures explain it, and it began to vibrate. That's why everything in this world is dual, because from perfect stillness, movement happens. And so it becomes dawn, and then it becomes night. It becomes youth, and then it becomes old age. It becomes health, and then it becomes sickness. Earlier in the meditation, we were singing that song, life is sweet and death is a dream when thy song flows through me. Health is sweet, sickness a dream when thy song flows through me. Song is sound, song is that melody. And when we live in the center, even though health comes and disease comes and age comes and youth comes again, all of it is just a dream because we know it's just movement from one place. When a fan spins, it looks like the blades are everywhere, but when it stops, you see that there's just a few of them. And so the impression of this world seems so solid because it's vibrating very subtly and very quickly, but it's really only vibrating. And the first manifestation of that vibration is the word. It manifests as light, and it manifests as sound. The eight classic manifestations of God, the first two are light and sound. So as we move out from that center point, the project of our lives is to get back to that center point, isn't it? I mean, even the most ordinary vocabulary, even the most un-God-centered person still thinks that way. Oh, I feel terribly uncentered today. I really need to get centered. I feel really drawn out of myself. I feel really scattered. I need to get focused again. And even though a materialistic person doesn't understand how deeply focused you can become, how far back from being scattered you can move into the center of yourself, the direction is there because it's intuitive with us. So we have moved out from that stillness And all of spiritual practice is an effort to get back to that stillness. This whole creation has moved out from that stillness, and the world we're living in now is a very, very unstable one. You know, this is the great 2012 that we've all been waiting for, you know, to see it coming. And, you know, you've probably seen the same cartoons I have, the picture of the old Mayan chipping on the rock, making the calendar, and then showing it to a friend, and he said, "Nothing more than 2012 fits on this rock. Oh, well, I guess it's okay." You know, but making fun of the idea that there's significance to the fact of 2012 because the Mayan calendar ends. Well, according to that, it ended because there was just no more room on the rock tablet. But regardless, here we are. But this world has moved very far from the quiet center into violence, into self-aggrandizement, into greed, into selfishness. I mean, we just have to look around. We see it. At the same time, there's this very powerful movement back to center because we are in a time of transition where it's polarizing. That's how Swamiji put it. He said, most of the time, humanity is shaped sort of like a cigar. A few people are good, a few people are bad, and most people just hang out in the mediocre middle. At times like this, he said, the middle gets thin, and evil gets worse and good gets better. But there's not as much space to just sort of hang out in the middle. And it hasn't really reached crisis proportions, but everyone says it's going there. So we'll see what happens. But the answer to it all is when thy song flows through me. So what we're going to experiment with tonight is we're going to experiment with sound and with light through the picture of fire. We're going to experiment with mantra. Mantra is sound that specifically in its vibration says something. I mean, we use all these words to talk to each other, and we all speaking English here, these particular sounds are a medium for thought. And all of you, who, you know, speaking English, you hear these words and it communicates to you certain images to a certain extent. A tremendous amount of our capacity to understand each other is not really the concept of the words I'm using so much as the vibration. And a lot of times when we're communicating with people, what they say doesn't tell us as much as their vibration. You can say lovingly, "Oh, I just hate you." And the vibration is just, "Aren't you adorable? I adore you." Or you could say, "Oh yeah, I really love you." And you can kind of tell that maybe that's not exactly the truth, because the vibration says something different. When Swami Kriyananda would speak, we would be so elevated and we would so love it. And afterwards you'd say, "Oh sir, I just loved that talk tonight. What did I say?" He would do that just to torment us. "What did I say?" And you would find you were absolutely blank. You couldn't think of a single concept. But while listening to it, you knew it was the most brilliant talk you'd ever heard, because the vibration of his consciousness changed our vibration, and you often couldn't bring it back to thought. Only when you listen to the recording later would you understand what the concepts are, because it's sound itself. And some sound is closer to Om. You know, great music is great because it's closer to Om. Even if it's chords and, you know, choruses and all the things that it is, but the vibration of the language that it speaks is closer to Om. And mantra is capitalizing on that. It's using sounds that in and of themselves, by their vibrations, bring you closer to Om. And the closer we are to Om, the closer we are to the origin, to the building blocks of all creation. The closer we are to Om within ourselves, the more thy song flows through me. Now, mantra is not our primary practice as Kriya yogis, but even Kriya has certain mantras associated with it, and the higher Kriyas have other mantras associated with it. So it is part of what we do. And one of our fundamental techniques is attuning to the Om. That's what we do when we meditate. We literally listen for the Om vibration, because that is the doorway back. We came through from God through the Om out into this chaos out here, and we get back through the Om to the simplicity. I never finished that thought of Swami Kriyananda. He said, because this world looks so complex to us, we imagine that the origin point is even more complex. He said, what we don't understand is the origin of all this complexity is absolute simplicity. Because it's this vast variety that is the delusion, because in truth, there is only one. All the great religions of the world know this, Judaism, my birth culture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the great prayer of Judaism, and it's pure self-realization. Hear, O Israel, there is only one reality. Even the word hear, listen to the Om and go back to it. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice together four different mantras. And the first mantra is called Om Hrim Klim Krishnaya Namaha. And we'll post these on the wall. We encourage you, though, once you really know what it sounds like, to close your eyes or at least stop reading, because reading activates a different part of your mind, and try to just tune into it, to the sound. Om Hring Kling is what's known as a Bij mantra, which is the Hring Kling sound like that. It has a penetrating energy. Swami Kriyananda set that mantra to music. The specific effect of Om Hring Kling is to dissolve obstacles, spiritual obstacles, material obstacles, financial obstacles. Literally the Hring Kling sound penetrates through and breaks up the vibration of obstacles. The melody Swamiji wrote for it is almost childlike, which has always been a bit of a paradox to me. But perhaps that's what he's saying to us. Obstacles dissolve in the childlike simplicity of God. The second mantra we're going to do is the Gayatri mantra. And you're familiar with the Gayatri mantra if you come on Sundays to our fire ceremony. The Gayatri mantra is Sanskrit. Also, all of these are Sanskrit, because Sanskrit is said to be the language that's closer to Om. The words in Sanskrit for things are closer, they say, to the actual vibration of those things. Isn't that an interesting thought? There's a word in Sanskrit for silly, murk. That means silly. There's a Swami in India, it's probably dead now, who's called Swami Murkananda, which is bliss through silliness. I said, Swamiji, there's a Sanskrit word for silly. He said, why not? And Swami Murkananda was challenged once by someone who said, what a ridiculous name for a Swami. The Swami answered, you don't know me. But the vibration of things. So Sanskrit has that inherent power. It can change the material world. The Gayatri Mantra is the Maha Mantra, and it is for liberation. So first we'll chant to remove obstacles, then we chant for personal liberation. The next chant is the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra, and that is to liberate the whole world. So we'll remove obstacles, we'll pray for our own upliftment, then we'll send that energy out in blessing to the whole world, and then at the end we'll take the transformation more deeply personal with our purification ceremony, where each of you individually, if you choose, can come to one of the light bearers, kneel before the light bearer and say, I seek purification by the grace of God. And in the name of the masters, we'll bless you. And if you haven't already, you can take a little paper from the foyer, from the back, and write something on it, your New Year's resolution, to free yourself of a limitation or bring into your life some quality that you wish to have. And by that time, we'll have this version of a fireball burning in the center. And after you come before one of the light bearers, you can go and offer your personal prayer into that fire. Between each mantra, we'll play the gong, because the sound of the gong is the Om itself. So we'll begin with the gong. Now, each mantra we're going to do for around 15 minutes. So don't be impatient. This is going to be a practice in being here now. And the way to go into this deeply is very, very simple. Allow your vibration to merge with the sound. If you find yourself restless or your mind wandering, you can't hold two things at the same time. Bring your consciousness back to the sound. And the more deeply we align ourselves with this, the more powerful it will be. And the more in blessing we can send out to this world, because whatever 2012 is going to be, I think it's going to be a humdinger. And so let us be part of what God is trying to make happen in this world, which is the transformation of consciousness into the Om. So now, let's begin.
Om Ring Kling Krishnaya Namaha. 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 Om Ring Kling Krishnaya Namaha.
Om Bhurbhuva Swaha. Om Tat Sat Virtuvarenyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodayat Om. Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha. Om Tat Savitur Varaniyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodayat Om. Triambakam yajamahe sagandhim pushtivardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanam mrityor mukshiyam amritat swaha. Om Triambakam yajamahe sagandhim pushtivardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanam mrityor mukshiyam amritat swaha. Om Triambakam yajamahe sagandhim pushtivardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanam mrityor mukshiyam amritat swaha.